get to heaven and I'm there, you're going to hear me sing. It's kind of a great song. Those of you that are old enough to know Lynyrd Skynyrd, very, very cool song. A little rock and roll brings back the, never mind. So, good morning. Well, the ladies' retreat is 2 weeks away. So I say that for a couple reasons. There's some very, very cool gals going. And if you're new, this is a great place to meet some people and kind of jump the line, if you know what I mean, in terms of relationship and friendship. So feel free to come out and be there. But dads, we need your help. There are a lot of women leaving, and we're in trouble over there. So we won't make you change diapers, probably. That will not happen. That's not appropriate, right? So because we're not very good at it, right? So we need your help. Talk to somebody. Find somebody. Bob Kanaga, Ben Bruno, anybody but me. Talk to somebody, all right? So if you want to help out. Well, it's Memorial Day this weekend, and we always like to acknowledge that in any way that we can. I thought I'd like to do things different since I've been doing this for many decades. And I just came up with an idea just to cause us to reminisce and understand what Memorial Day is all about. It's about the fallen. And we all are always grateful for people that serve and have served and always will be. And those of us that didn't have that privilege don't quite understand, but we admire. We stand back and admire. And I think if I had to do it again, Vietnam was scary in 1971. I was not in a hurry to go there, for sure. And those of you that are my age understand that. But I want to talk about the men and women who gave everything throughout the history of our nation, the United States of America. So I've got a list of approximate numbers of those who died in the wars. American Revolution, 4,435. War of 1812, 2,260. Wow, he's way ahead of me. Indian Wars, 1,000 approximate, obviously. Mexican War, 13,283. Then the Civil War. Both sides. We lost big time here. 498,000. But what the war was fought for was beautiful. And sad. Spanish-American War, 2,246. World War I, 116,000 men and women. World War II, 405,000 people. Korean War, 36,574. Vietnam War, 58,220. Desert Shield Storm, 383. I like that number. I mean, I don't like that number. But it was quick and fast. War on Terror in Iraq and Afghanistan, 6,906 so far. So it's over a million men and women that have given their life for our country. So with that in mind, watch this.
Today, we honor the men and women who have died in service to our country. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. For love of country, they accepted death. And they who for their country die shall fill an honored grave. For glory lights the soldier's tomb, and beauty weeps the brave. It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who die. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. God bless the families of these men and women, and God bless America.
Yes. It's always good to get our attention that way. Well, today's theme, hashtag Jesus. Jesus is speaking to you now. He's got a hashtag. I want you to live my ethos. I want you to live my ethos. And we're gonna obviously figure out what that is and attempt to grab hold of that today. And I trust all of you are going to get it before you leave out the back doors. Speaking again of Memorial Day, our drill instructor was at the end of his rope, one fella talked about. And one day during Air Force basic training, an airman's ineptitude was driving him crazy. He was going nuts. Never, ever had a guy like this. Getting in the airman's face, as they'll do, and kind of spitting and breathing, and he demanded, "Whoever told you to join the Air Force?" With firmness, conviction, snapping to attention, the airman proclaimed, "The Navy recruiter, sir." The Navy recruiter. I guess you have to battle within the forces to really understand that. That was from Ben Myers, a Navy guy. If David Goldstein would have given me that, it just would have been reversed. So I appreciate humor. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you that we get to be together. And this Memorial Day, we certainly want to, in whatever way we can, honor men and women who serve now and have served in the past. But thank you so much for those gold star families throughout history that sacrificed everything so we could be free, so we could live the way we live. And we just honor them today in any way that we can. And we ask you to touch us with your words, Jesus, to let it ring in our hearts and minds. Let it break through today that this is who you want us to be. This is how you want us to live. This is the way you want us to function with people in our lives. Let us see it clearly today. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into our lives as always, and we ask you to touch us, to impact us, to drill down on that inside part of our brain and heart and get our attention. So we love you, Jesus, and we want to love you more. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So we're in a series entitled Commands of Jesus, and it's birthed or born out of Matthew 28:19, where Jesus tells his men to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he puts a tagline on there, and he says, and teach them all that I have commanded you. In order to ever teach something, you've got to know it yourself. If you're ever going to mentor somebody, anybody in any way, you have to know it yourself. So there's an assumption here that Jesus says, you're going to learn what I've had to say. You're going to learn my commands. So what we're trying to do in this series is, probably 99 out of 100 of you know, we're taking the commands one at a time chronologically as best we can understand. So today we're on command number 18. And we're only going to look at one verse today, which is kind of cool. And you'd think we'd be done in 10 or 15 minutes. We'll see. But to start, yeah, you're just laughing at me. Yeah. But if you're laughing at me, you're laughing at you because you showed up. So first off, what is an ethos? Well, what is that? Most of you know or have some form of a definition in your mind. And ethos defined is one's philosophy. One's philosophy. Your character is your ethos. It's not just words. Who you are is your ethos. You may say one thing and be another. Guess what your ethos is? It's who you are. Your ethos defines who you are, whether it's in word or deed. The deed is what matters. It's your code, if you want to be cool. My code. That was the best I got. I know, it's horrible. It's okay, at least none of my kids are here. They're gone. Ethos defined is the tenets by which you live. By which you live. It describes the guiding beliefs of someone. Whatever those are, that's my ethos. It's the dominant assumptions of a person, whatever they are. You can even go as far as to say it's your worldview coupled together with the reality of your life. Your ethos is who you are. Now, I'm going to give you three of them today just for fun, just to give you some rails to run on. First is Steve Jobs. ethos. I think he's going to throw it up. Yeah, there you go. Way behind me. To make a contribution to the world by making tools for the mind that advance humankind. That sounds like Steve Jobs, does it? Does it not? You know, Apple's mission statement, I was going to put up there, but we don't have time. It's very different than that. It's product-driven. Because they're a company that wants to sell product. And Steve Jobs is no longer here. This guy was a dreamer, one of the greatest dreamers that ever lived. Forward thinker. He was special in many ways. Bill and Melinda Gates. Pretty powerful folks. I had dinner with them last week. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. If you're new with us, expect those jokes, okay? It starts off with a beginning statement. It says, we seek to unlock the possibility inside every individual. That's broad, but that's pretty cool. We care. And here's how they're going to live that out. We see equal value in all lives, each and every one of them. And so we are dedicated to improving the quality of life for individuals around the world. From the education of students in Chicago, by way of example, to the health of a young mother in Nigeria, we are catalysts of human promise everywhere. So that's their big picture, what they want to do. I don't know that this is really their ethos, but it talks about their mission in life, who they want to be, what they want to accomplish. And again, all of us have one. And as Leonard Skinner said earlier, I am a simple man. And you'll see that a little bit later. But here's the real one I want to get to. It's really long, but I want to give it to you, the Navy SEAL ethos, because it's just impactful. Boys, buckle in. In times of war or uncertainty, there is a special breed of warrior ready to answer our nation's call. A common man with uncommon desire to succeed. Forged by adversity, he stands alongside America's finest special operations forces to serve his country, the American people, and protect their way of life. I am that man. My trident is a symbol of honor and heritage bestowed upon me by the heroes that have gone before. It embodies the trust of those I have sworn to protect. By wearing the trident, I accept the responsibility of my chosen profession and way of life. It is a privilege that I must earn every day. My loyalty to country and to team is beyond reproach. I humbly serve as a guardian to my fellow Americans, always ready to defend those who are unable to defend themselves. I do not advertise the nature of my work, nor seek recognition for my actions. I voluntarily accept the inherent hazards of my profession, placing the welfare and security of others before my own. I serve with honor on and off the battlefield. The ability to control my emotions and my actions, regardless of my circumstance, sets me apart from other men. This is why the training. Uncompromising integrity is my standard. My character and honor are steadfast. My word is my bond. We expect to lead and be led. In the absence of others, I will take charge. Whew. Lead my teammates and accomplish the mission. I lead by example in all situations. I will never quit. Never. I preserve and thrive on adversity. My nation expects me to be physically harder and mentally stronger than my enemies. If knocked down, I will get back up every time. I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates and to accomplish our mission. I am never out of the fight, never. We demand discipline. We expect innovation. The lives of my teammates and the success of our mission depend on me. My technical skill, tactical proficiency, and attention to detail. My training is never complete. We train for war and we fight to win. I stand ready to bring the full spectrum of combat power to bear in order to achieve my mission and the goals established by my country. The execution of my duties will be swift and violent when required, yet guided by the very principles that I serve to defend. Brave men have fought and died building the proud tradition and feared reputation that I am bound to uphold. in the worst of conditions, the legacy of my teammates steadies my resolve and silently guides my every deed. I will not fail. No offense, ladies, but that is so manly. For the men in the room, they just got to settle down right now. Settle down, boys. Now, Bay City's ethos, our mission statement. It's simple. I am a simple man. We want to help people find, follow, and fall in love with Jesus progressively over the course of time. That's who we are. We're not quite Navy SEALs, but I want to have the kind of intensity in our life to defend the truth of Jesus in every way that we can. So those are, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. One little yeah. Good. I'll take it, baby. I'll take it right to the bank. Right. Deposit it. Well, we're looking today at one of the most famous statements ever said. Ever. Jesus sums up the Sermon on the Mount in this statement. William Barclay, a commentator, calls this the Everest of ethics. Simple to understand, not simple to do and live out day after day. This is one of the hardest things you'll do is ever, day after day, follow the principles of Jesus to the best of your ability. Hardest work you'll ever do. Because it demands a ferocity in your life that you are going to say no to you and yes to him. Event after event, situation after situation. And none of that is easy. So three simple points today. So there is that outside possibility that you'll get out early. Thank you for the laughter. I appreciate that because I'm right with you. Number one, Jesus pointing to all parts of life. He wants us to understand the scope of what he's about to ask. What parts of our life he's talking about, and Jesus is pretty clear here. In Matthew 7:12, he starts off, so in everything, and most of us that have above a 4 or 5 grade education understand everything. It's the entirety of your life in everything. Each and every part, the whole thing, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, whatever you want to come up with, it's your whole life and everything, and everything. So what Jesus is about to present to you and me involves what we say and do, what we dream about, what we pursue, every part of our lives. That's at least what Jesus is thinking. For each of us, the truth is this is different because we're all wired differently. That's who we are as humans, and we know it. We have different strengths, and we have different weaknesses. And there's a greater plan going on here. If somebody will choose to buy into the ethos of Jesus and begin to live it, not only will they, as you'll see today, stand out amongst other people, but they will find connection with some and they'll find disconnection with others. And that can't be your passion, can't be to please everybody, or you'll never do what he asks here. But whatever Jesus covers here in just a moment, it covers all, everything, everything. And again, for all of us, a little bit different. We're not the same. So number two, next, the wisest way to live for all. The wisest way to live for all. You can try to say that 5 times real quick later. Wisest way to live. Jesus gives us our mission in life right here, right now. His ethos, if you will. His ultimate way to live this Memorial Day in 2017. He says in chapter 7, verse 12, as he goes on, in everything, he says, starts off with do, and it speaks of actions, thoughts, attitudes, desires in life and towards others, all that you are. Do to others. Others refers to anybody you come in contact with, man, woman, and child, believer, not believer, whoever it is. Do to others what you. So this is based on you. You. Jesus wants you to be you, fully you, based on your experiences in life, your understanding. Because again, we're all different. You are not responsible for what I am. And I'm not responsible for what you're responsible for. That's just the truth in life. There's some generalities that we can all kind of park our car by and say, yeah, I'm in. I concur. This is individual. You. Do to others what you. Now, for those of us who choose to follow Jesus, and that's a priority, we attempt to follow what Jesus has taught and what he's said, and we try to connect to it in any way that we can, and we never fully are connected in the sense of full understanding, but we continue to move our life towards what Jesus wants. We believe in his way better than my way, his strategy better than my strategy. We constantly come back to that as a center line for us. So he says, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, it's pretty simple. It's not real deep. Oh, but it is. The request, at least. What is it that you would like other people to do to you? Use your head. Use your heart. Use your experience to guide your future. Jesus is climbing into the inside of us and trying to get our attention here. How would you like others to treat you? Do you want other people to believe the best about you? Oh, yep. When you do or make a faux pas, do you want other people to forgive you and to understand? Well, yep, I'll give a yep on that. Yep. How about if you make a really big mistake? Something happens. I heard this guy talk about, he wrote a book. I haven't read it yet, but I really enjoyed him. I probably should get his book, but another book. Oh, geez. You start it, and you go, am I going to finish this book? I have started so many books. Oh, is that too much to tell you? I keep telling you, I'm a simple man. I'm a C student, so I'll give myself C+, okay? I'm going high. But he talked at this convention we were at this year for church leaders. He talked about when he was 18, he had a boat. I think it was his boat. I'm not sure. But he was driving the boat, and everybody was having fun. And he was pulling skiers, and he was a real responsible 18-year-old, whatever that is. And as he shared the story, I didn't know what was coming. Sharp-looking guy with glasses on. Man looked like an author. He was. And he said, I was going back to get the guy I was pulling that I knew. And as I turned the boat, I just made a mistake. And I ran right over him. And after I went by him, the engine stopped. And the blade of the propeller was in his head. And there was blood everywhere. And they medevaced him out, and he survived. And he goes, I just didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get by it. And his book shares that story and the awful pain he inflicted on another person. Accidentally, he didn't mean to. And the fellow survived, but he was never the same. Brain injuries can affect us forever. And he had to learn to live with this. And, you know, I don't know what mistakes you've made in your life. But when you make a big one, boy, you really hope somebody over time can find a way to forgive you. Especially when there's great sorrow and sadness. And the big idea here from Jesus, didn't mean to go so dark. Treat others as you want to be treated. And it's just a great way to live. And it's really simple. This is a restatement of the second most important command, the first being to love God with everything that you are, and the second in Matthew 22:39, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying the same thing here, just in a different way. This is the law of love. This is how you pull off the law of love. This is where success is found in the law of love. So, how you care for you. That didn't get much air, did I? like Phil Mickelson, winning a master. So how you care for you, care for other people. That is a really high bar. Jesus, can you make it a little bit easier? Come on, come on. That's what he wants us to understand. That's his ethos. Do to others what you want done to you. It's simple. Many throughout history have used this phrase. Many, many. Before Jesus and certainly after. But they put a very different spin on it. This is a biblical concept. This is the law of love lived out. Presented to us in a special way here, as we'll see, from the Savior, from Jesus himself. But there's two very different takes on this verse. And the first one there in your notes, the one in parentheses, many see this in the negative form. They see it in the negative form. And I really want you to get this. And so I've got some illustrations of it. Hillel, a famous Jewish elder, said this. What is hateful to yourself, do to no other. That was his statement, his way of defining this ethos, this mission in life. In the book of there's a aged Tobias, and he teaches his son what's necessary for life. What thou hates, to no man do. Same idea, but it's put differently. And it's put in a negative light. And this happened over and over. Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Now, some might say that means the same thing. The Stoics had a saying, and it was this, what you do not wish to be done to you, do not do to anyone else. We understand the concept. We get it. We get it. But it's in the negative form. And ethics can be defended from this form. They can be birthed from it. It can be their foundation. Ethical teaching has a home, and this works right there. Jesus was talking about way more than this. And I want you to get this more than anything probably today. He was talking about way more than ethics. It is right for us to live ethical lives. But that is not Jesus' great goal for you and me. This is not about morals. I'm not saying morals don't matter, but this is way more than morals that Jesus is asking of you and me. Here today in Matthew 7, 12. Way, 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 way more. He's asking for way more than good behavior. And some people think that, well, if my ethic is right, and my morals are right, and my good behavior is coming out, I'm doing it. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough to go to heaven? Come on, Jim, I'm a stand-up guy. What's the complaint about me if my ethic is right, my morals are right, and my behavior's right? Jesus wants you to get a whole lot more than that. Jesus is trying to take us to a new way of living. A new way of interacting. A new structure that you can build your life around that makes sense to you as a follower of Jesus. That you go, wow, that is really difficult. Mm-hmm. Nobody says it wasn't. This is overwhelming, what Jesus is asking you and me to do today. Overwhelming. It's way more than a statement. Number two, Jesus sees this in a positive way. A positive way. The command he's given to live out this ethos with sincerity and with honesty. The negative way of looking at this command involves nothing more than not doing things. It simply means not doing something solves what's being asked. It's dumbed down. It's Sonny Bono writing songs. That was his brilliance. The beat goes on. Do you know how many times you sing that in that song? He didn't want technical. He wanted for the average man, and he was average. Even though he married Cher. Good on him, I guess, yeah. Let's go on. I don't know how I brought Cher into this thing. I have no idea where that came from. Here's the point. It's not very difficult to not do something. Handcuff yourself. Not, I'm not going to do that. Discipline. Legalism. I'm not going to do it. Therefore, I'm a good guy. Jesus says, no, no, no. There's so much more. There is so, so much more. Someone could satisfy this negative bent on this command by simple inaction. Become a hermit, a monk, if you will. If he consistently did nothing, it wouldn't be broken. This is not what Jesus meant. This is not the ethos of Jesus. The command from Jesus is positive. We're to be active. This demands your best. To do to others what you would like done to you is a way different statement than don't do anything hateful. A new principle is being introduced here. A new attitude is to be adopted. That's really, really hard. Jesus is bringing on, listen to me, a revolution. And it's a revolution of love, you know? Little Beatles in there. Say what you want. But if everybody listened to what Jesus was saying and asking of us, the world would be altered shortly. Now, that's not going to happen. There are 200 or so of you listening to me right now, and we can rock our worlds, but we can't rock the world. It's not our job. It's not our job. What would happen if everybody listened up to this and took it to heart and built their life around this? Number three, this ethos of love. Of love is to run life yours if you want to listen to Jesus and want to follow him in this way. Jesus wants us to take on love like a warrior, like a Navy SEAL, and refuse to be deterred no matter what happens, no matter what hurts. No matter what pain you have in your life, because we all got some. He wants us to be other-centered. He wants us to use our head in doing so. He doesn't just blindly follow. He's asking us here to ask honest questions of ourselves. How do you want to be treated? What's the truth? Make a list of how you want people to treat you. That's your list of love. You would never be nasty to you. It stops so much CRAP in your life. Is that right? Did I spell it right?
I didn't spell the other word.
Made you think it, though. It's my fault. All right, I take that hit. He's saying to us here, Jim. And when he says my name a number of times, it concerns me. Jim. Ask yourself honest questions. How do you want other people to treat you, Jim? Respect. Admiration. Maybe even ever once in a while, one gal, awe. You can do this on the inside of you if you listen to Jesus. But it's active. It's active. It's positive. It's uplifting. How serious is this issue? Well, look at verse 12 as he ends. He says, for this sums up. What does sums up mean? Well, it summarizes. It summarizes. It's the short version It's the main point of something. That's what sums up or summarizes mean. Of the law and the prophets. This right here. If I treat others the way I want to be treated. I'm taking the whole Old Testament and going, there I am, living it out. Jesus is telling them on the Sermon on the Mount and us through them that the law and the prophets, the teaching of the Old Testament, if I do this one thing, I end up following them. I end up fulfilling it. I end up satisfying it and obeying them. The law and the prophets in the Old Testament. Synthesized. Paul tells us in Romans 13:8, he says, let no debt, not one debt, remain outstanding, except live with this debt every day, all day long, the continuing debt to love one another. This is who you and I are to be. You want your ethos, let it come from him. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. They've shrunk the Old Testament and all that it says down to the law of love. And you and I can do it. We don't always, and we know it. Our mind betrays us. Our emotions betray us. Our heart gets hurt. We get a little ding, a dent, and something comes out, right? We get hot. What does it mean when you get hot? Somebody irritated you, right? Love is the requirement to fulfill the law, not behavior. Interesting. We are so focused on our behavior all the time, trying to be righteous people, trying to be right rather than wrong. We work so hard at behavior. Maybe if we worked at love, behavior would just follow. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the secret sauce today. I'm not kidding. You want your barbecue tasting good? This is it. Was that over the top? Yeah. Jesus defines love through his ethos. Do to others what you would have them do to you. So what does he teach us? Oh, it's early. See if I can mess it up. Number one, I'm kidding. Jesus wants his ethos to be ours, us, individually. A choice needs to be made when he talks like this. How then are we going to live? How are we going to live? This new responsibility, I'm calling it, that Jesus gives us, comes from the inside of us. He's making us responsible. It's not just obey some rules. It's the inside of you. And me. And it calls for action. How do we want to be treated? Do that over and over again to other people. Do we want to be called out on a little mistake? Or do we want somebody to understand? Day after day, hour after hour, life after life that we run into, live Jesus' ethos and watch him show up way more than he does when you live your way versus his way. Number two, everyone loves being served. Right? Don't we? So, my thinking is when someone serves us with no agenda, just because they can, and they actually enjoy it, how do you feel? You may have to think too hard because when did that happen to me? What results, honestly, if that, let's play out that scenario drama-wise, if you will. But we're grateful. Well, some people are so cynical, they're waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Something's coming. You know, when your kid comes home, says, Dad, I love you. How about you want? Yeah. But when somebody serves us, we're grateful. It may not be long-lasting, but we're grateful. That's a great feeling. Being grateful is beautiful. We feel loved. We feel valued. We feel significant to them. How about this? How about this, just for fun? Why not spend our life doing this? What? Serving other people? I mean, our whole life. You want a happy marriage? Bless you, dude. This is where it's found. Right here. All day long. Stop the demanding game. Stop the trying to fix people thing. Stop the trying to control everybody. You can't anyway. And you serve. Ooh, I touched something. And it was mostly female. Now I'm really in trouble. I'm dead. Today I'm gone. Lord, protect me. I know. Guys, don't ever do what I do when I did that. Right? Here's my point. If we can move beyond the last one. If you will live your life serving people, I don't think Jesus is going to mind. I don't think, cool it, Jim. Don't serve quite so thoroughly. Not going to say that. Not going to say that. This morning, 7 o'clock, maybe 6:50, my wife got a text. And it was Lewis. And he says, Sandy, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it today. I lost my ride. And so he says, I don't know if it's a subsequent text, it doesn't matter. He said, should I call David? He's on the team, this guy. Robin's husband. I should get lunch for that. Sandy goes, yes. Why? She knows David. So David, this morning, probably got ready quick, and he went, and he picked up Lewis. And what do? They do the car exchange thing, because Lewis can't get in David's Camaro. It just wouldn't work. Although Lewis wouldn't mind getting in David's Camaro, if I know Lewis, all right? So David parks his car at Lewis's house, and he takes Lewis's van, and he drives over here. And obviously, he's going to drive him home when they're done. David, Sandy texts David and says, hey, thank you. Everybody loves acknowledgement. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He's a grown-up. Got a big job. Is pretty smart. I'm going to stop there. And David texts my wife back. And he says, he's my brother. Everyone loves being served, people. So let's do it. Spend your life. You don't have to overserve. But prepare your brain every morning as you're brushing your teeth. And I hope you do that every morning. Say, I want to serve today. Jesus, I want to do your ethos. I want to do it. Number three. See, we're in trouble now with time. Blame David, Sandy, and Lewis. All right, number three. Number three. Say no to self-interest. If you really want to pull this kind of life off, say no to self-interest and say yes to selflessness. Selflessness. This is really what Jesus is getting at in asking us to live out his ethos. He was the ultimate selfless person on earth to do to others what we would have them do to us. And here's how this breaks down. If you can capture my thinking. Love that's motivated by mission and ethos what we've been talking about. When love is motivated by that, so it has a home, it has a reason, it has a foundation, it has a jumping off point. Because otherwise, everything clouds in. But if you lock that in, if love is motivated by mission and ethos, that is honest and true, it's got to have reality linked to it or it won't last. It implies self-denial, which is saying no to self-interest. Self-interest is self-denial. You got to say no to you. And that's the hard part for us, because we like saying yes to us individually. We are naturally a byproduct of selfishness. Self-denial is a part of the process. And that produces, when you get in that range, and you have a reason, and you have a foundation, it produces love expressed to others. Thus, you end up living selfless. Not because you said, I want to be selfless. No, you are motivated by the ethos of Jesus. Therefore, selflessness comes out of you. You don't say, okay, I'm going to white knuckle this stuff. I'm going to pull this off on my own. I'm going to serve better than anybody. Forget you, you're a loser. You got an hour of that, maybe. But when you know, and you are motivated, I'm over the top today, huh? I can already feel it. Jim, settle down. Number four, let's go. We can't, and we never will, fulfill this command alone. Please know that. Hear me. Trying to do this stuff on your own brings on only frustration and failure. To follow Jesus in Matthew 7:12, we must have his help, his participation, his involvement, and his input in our life. Otherwise, you'll give up on it. This is what following him is all about. Let's admit up front, without him, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Just tell the truth to yourself. We don't stand a chance. Jesus is the only hope for you living this life out, because you listen to him and you're passionate about following him and loving him. Number five and last, this is a revolutionary command. For the boys in the room, revolutionary. I spelled it wrong 10 times and spell check fixed it. So, oh, it's right up there. Oh, there's no R. Good, Joe. Cool. He spelled it wrong, and he's smart. He's an IT guy. Are you fixing it? There's an R at the beginning, boys. Right. You join Jesus in loving the way we've talked about today, in accepting this challenge to do to others what you would have them do to you. Your life can just blow up in a beautiful way. Did he fix it? Joe, give it up. Okay. Joe, I forgive your mistake. Right? Most people have never experienced this kind of love consistently. This is what will allow your marriage to rock. This is life-changing love. This is where it's at. And it happens on the inside of you as you ask yourself questions in the process of metering out who you want to be and who Jesus wants you to be. This is a revolution of love. It's up to us. And if you will sign on the dotted line with your life, just like those million soldiers gave their life throughout our history for us to be who we are, that we talked about at the start, and you lean on him, you might, I might, live this at a high level. I pray for it for us, and that fruit comes because we listen to Jesus. Not because we figured everything out, but we took aboard what he wants us to take aboard. And something dynamic comes from it. It's his power. It's not mine. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you're always with us. Thank you that we can trust you, that we get to listen to you. And may each one of us take this stuff to heart. And when we brush our teeth, think about your ethos. and try to take it aboard every day the rest of our life. To treat others the way we ourselves would like to be treated by others. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. God bless you.